Oh, I just love the end of Pentecost and Christ the King. It's hard to preach. I do love it, but in a way that, not in the way that a lot of people love it. So before I go on, good morning, church.
Good morning.
And good morning to you, Lord. I'm not going to exactly preach all the appointed lessons for today because you'll know why in a little bit once I start telling you what I am going to preach. The coming of Christ the King Sunday is indeed a glorious day, and it has lofty readings. It has some readings that are difficult to understand. But I'm just not in the mood right this second for lofty or confusion. That doesn't mean I'm not in the mood for Christ. But what I am in the mood for is thanksgiving. A season of gratitude that transcends all religion or any kind of other thought. Everyone celebrates Thanksgiving for better or for worse. And there's always something to be thankful for, even if it is the meal, even when the meal is over and you go all home to sleep off the turkey. There are no gifts expected, perhaps a dish to share. The stores are not filled with Thanksgiving decorations. There's no Thanksgiving music in August. The face of an occasional turkey appears along with a few giant blow-up turkeys in yards and neighborhoods. And as we drive around, we might see some lingering Halloween decorations and some emerging Christmas lights. The idea of giving thanks does not hold a big commercial draw. Even the great commercial that shows a family and all the things that invite us to be thankful or wrapped in gift paper, it's not really about Thanksgiving, because if you look at that commercial, everything is wrapped in Christmas paper. So I like this. It's almost like Thanksgiving is a mini retreat between Halloween and Christmas. It's only a one-day retreat, because as soon as the table is cleared, there's an explosion of Black Friday. This one day makes a place for the words of Jesus to fit in without wondering what they mean. This day of Thanksgiving is a gospel lesson for giving thanks. The reading for Thanksgiving Day from Matthew is, Jesus says, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can you, any of you, add by worrying a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat or what will I drink? What will I wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. But indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Compared to the reading for today, this is not really a passage that you have to spend hours of time studying to get what it means. It's pretty clear. Don't worry. God's got this. And today I just want to talk a little bit about gratitude for a few minutes. And then when we go to the Eucharist, we will be affirmed in all that we have to be thankful for in the coming of Jesus. God has us in his hand. God is in control. Yes, Christ is the King. He's the King over our worries and our joys and our peace. God holds us close. Maybe it's the first thing we should be thankful for every day. God and His Son Jesus. What Jesus did for us and does for us as people of Christ begs the question, do we accept Jesus as our King? Is Jesus the King of our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls? If not, who or what is? What in our life is more important than God? Who has been my King? Who have I served? Who have I treated well through my words, my thoughts, my deeds? Who have I paid my allegiance to? Who sits on the throne of my heart? Today we have an invitation to choose Christ again. Choose Christ as our King, King of our bodies, souls, heart, and mind. Brother Jeffrey says, today we close the door to the growing time of Pentecost. I pray that during this time you've discovered some way to grow in your faith and be ready to open the door to Advent, which begins next Sunday. A new year, a new journey. We will prepare for Christmas in a way that the commercial world does not. It has nothing to do with greeting cards or wrapping paper or decorations. It has to do with the birth of our Savior, our King, Christ our King. So, well, okay, I think it's prudent that I at least touch on today's reading. I can't just ignore it. Today's gospel is laid out by Matthew in the choosing between the sheep and the goats by Jesus and how the sheep and or the goats treated him or didn't treat him. Jesus is likened to the king in this reading that many were expecting. A king, a political king, who was going to get rid of all those bad guys and embrace all those good guys. A man of political power to glorify his chosen people. But I think we can get in trouble here if we linger on the idea of the separation of the sheep and the goats, the good folk and the bad. There's hope for God to step in and save all of God's people. God's sheep, we read in Ezekiel, have lost everything. And that image of the good shepherd is familiar to us as we think of Jesus as our good shepherd. So this idea of Jesus, of God as our shepherd, is not new. It's eternal. He watches over us from the beginning. I think we're very quick to jump to the negative connotations of these words of Jesus today. That we focus on who is in and who is out, rather than realize the call in this reading is to bring the Spirit and the words of Jesus to everyone we meet. Not to judge, but to care for. It's a proclamation of faith and love that are rooted in cosmic certainty. That's a quote from a preacher, Christopher Kaufman. And he goes on to say, it takes a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know this. It takes unceasing prayer and thanksgiving to understand the difference between the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of this world. But the prayers of Christ's church will be that with our eyes enlightened, we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. We have to balance that with the idea of this reading that is so easy to bring forward that some people are going to make it and some people aren't. It's our job to make sure everyone makes it. Paul in Ephesians expresses his thankfulness for the church, for the people. And we are reminded as followers of Jesus that it is, as I've already said, our call to believe and love one another, to be thankful for one another. I'm tempted to read today's scripture to focus on judgment rather than justice. What's the difference? The difference is that if we take on the job of judgment, we lose sight of who is the ultimate judge. Rather, we should take on the position of justice, that which is ultimately true and fair, that reminds us that our God will make all things right, and it's not our job to figure out who among us are the fat sheep or the thin sheep, the goats or the sheep. It's our job to treat all of God's creation in the same way that we treat each other, the same way that we treat Jesus, and the same way that Jesus treats us. So as you go forward into the week and prepare for Advent, look into the faces of your neighbor, your friends, and your enemies, and try to see the face of God. So I got on a roll and decided I had to say a little bit about the psalm for today. Everything that we do is sacrament, not always with a capital S, sometimes with a small s. This psalm was sung at morning prayer, every morning prayer service as a child. We did not do Eucharist every week as we do now. So this psalm, sorry, my pages got out of order. This psalm spoke to me and sort of said, just preach it just a little bit, Barbara. There are few Bible passages that speak more powerfully than this, that talks about a song of service to the Lord with gladness, a time to come before his presence with singing, The image of God before the Lord reflects an action of joy in a way that presenting God with a song doesn't quite do for how I want to present myself to God. That was a really long sentence, but basically, I have to think about how I present myself to God. Just because I'm singing doesn't mean that I am presenting myself in the tone of that song. I want to represent to my God how much I care and how much I love him in all that I say, do, and sing. We did sing this the Jubilate Deo. And every time I hear it, I'm reminded of my journey as a child and forward in my understanding of who Jesus is in my life. And like I said, I don't want to just say, here's what I offer you, God. I want to say, here is what I offer you, God. And that will be full and everything that I am. Know that the Lord, he is God. He has made us, not we ourselves. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So this psalm is relevant instruction for us Christians during this time of uncertainty and anxiety in our lives and in the world. We are called to enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him, and call upon his name. This time of thanksgiving in our lives is a good time to remember that every day we get up and enter into the kingdom, his gates, we should do it with praise and thanks. Every morning when we open our eyes, we should begin our day with singing, with thanksgiving, with praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. When I do this and I don't just jump out of bed, hitting the floor running, my day goes much better. So try it. If you don't already begin your day this week, just a few short words. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this day. So everything we do according to what Jesus says is sacramental. As we enter God's gates each and every day, we are outward and visible signs of God's grace. Sacrament. So take heart and know that God celebrates you just as we celebrate God. Next Sunday is Advent 1. I'm not sure how Advent and Christmas will look this year. Jesus will get born. Wherever and however we mark his birth in church will not dictate or shape the miracle of his coming. Amen. Now I invite you to stand and say with me the words of the Nicene Creed, statement of our faith. We believe in one God, the Father.